I love those grandkids, but the other day I saw them all looking at me, pointing at me and laughing. And I said, well, what are y'all laughing about? They said, you look like you have one T-Rex arm. Where'd they get that meanness from? I don't know. Proverbs chapter 19, look at verse 3. The foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord. The foolishness of man perverteth his way, and then he frets against the Lord. Now, to put this in sort of a modern vernacular, we could say, you make stupid decisions, and then you blame God. That's what that proverb means. The foolishness of man perverts his way. People are messed up, but it's because of their foolishness. Now, here, there's a lot of proverbs in here that talk about wickedness of man, the iniquity of man. There's all kinds of evil in the heart of man. Many inventions that men have that are evil, that are against God. And people have a tendency to rebel against God, just like children have a tendency to rebel against parents, even though every good thing they have comes from their parents. And yet they will rebel as if parents don't have the right to say what you can and cannot do. And why is that? Because of evil in our hearts. And there is evil in the hearts. But that's not what he's talking about here. He's not talking about the evil in man's heart. And he's not talking about the wickedness that's pervasive in human behavior. He's talking about foolishness. Now, foolishness is not just a lack of wisdom. You can lack wisdom and still not be a fool. All of us lack wisdom, in fact. All of us need a little help. The Bible says God gives wisdom because he wants to be a part of your life. And the wisdom comes from him. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But lack of wisdom is not necessarily foolishness. Foolishness is where you make a decision based on your emotions, or you make a decision based on some irrational thought, or you make decisions based on nothing more than your immediate desires, and you don't think things through, and then you have some poor consequences for it, and then we can look and say, well, that's foolish. And the Bible says mankind is foolish. The foolishness of man. Not a man, but man. He's talking about all of us. There's just a foolishness. The Bible says foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. And the rod of correction will drive it far from him. And so the foolishness of man says we got to get rid of the rod of correction. Because man is foolish. Man doesn't know, man does not know what's best for himself. They don't do what they ought to do to take care of themselves. And I'm just going to talk about the three points in this proverb. First of all, foolishness from God's viewpoint, from history's viewpoint, from eternity's viewpoint, and from your own viewpoint. And then I want to talk about perversion because we ought to be clear on what's normal and what's not.
Right.
And then I want to talk about fretting against the Lord and how people have a tendency to blame God for their own problems. Blame God, or at least think that God should have done something else or done something different. Then I'll draw some conclusions that I think will be self-evident and hopefully help you to make a decision about the rest of your life. Let's ask the Lord to bless us. God, we need your help because our words don't reach the heart, but your spirit does, God. You know what's in man. You know exactly how to take your message to the heart and make it bear fruit. And I ask you to do that this morning. If there's someone here that does not know you as Savior, and Lord, you'd be good enough to deal with them, maybe even a harsh way, but to change their mind about things and bring them to you, Lord, so that their lives would be changed and their eternity, their destiny changed and blessed forever. Oh, that would be worth it, Lord. We'd ask you to do that and ask you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Foolishness of man. Now think about it from God's viewpoint. God has to be looking down at man and saying, are you kidding me? Sometimes you listen to somebody say something on TV and you think, They've got to be kidding, right? This has got to be a joke. There are a lot of what they call sarcastic or satirical websites that propose to give news. They give headlines that are on their face absolutely ridiculous. And they're satirical. They're making a satirical point about something in the news. They're all over the place. The Babylon Bee from a Christian perspective. And then you've got The Onion that makes it from a libertarian perspective. And they come up with these articles about the most ludicrous, ridiculous things. And some people think they're serious. Some people actually answer them as if they're being serious. And some people agree with them. It happens all the time. You see it in the news all the time. It's actually quite funny. The truth is, you look around and you say, people can't be serious about this. They make claims that are just ridiculous. And you know it. Like the idea that you can become a girl if you're a boy. That's on its face ridiculous. It's stupid. It's not even worth a second thought. You don't even have to think, just dismiss it. It's just stupid. And somebody will actually insist that it's real, that it's true. But look at it from God's viewpoint. Because God has to be looking at man and their ways of thinking and their ways of behaving. And he has to be thinking, this is foolish. Do you not see the foolishness of your decisions? Do you not see the foolishness of the way you're thinking, of your arguments? Have you ever gotten into an argument with somebody? And they are just defeating themselves in their own argument. Sometimes it is just hilarious. I'm not going to go into it. I got so much here to deal with. From God's viewpoint, think about it. The Bible says God made man upright. And he sought out many inventions. God had a plan from the beginning. God had some really good ideas. And he created this universe. And it's just an amazing thing. And we've now discovered so much about it. It's back in the day, you had a hard time knowing what all that was out there. But now they've got telescopes out in space that send radio images back. And we can see out in the very depth of the universe. And we see galaxies and clusters of galaxies. And we see all kinds of different things that God has made. And there are people that think that that's just an accident. There are actually people who think it always existed. When you look at what's been made, you got to say, this is a testimony to an amazing creator. Amen. And if you come to the conclusion, that just must have always been there. God has to be thinking, well, now that is very foolish. And that's speaking charitably. That's very foolish. We all can tell when something's been made. I was up with Ricky Stewart one time up at his place on the river. And that was a place where the Comanche Indians used to camp right there on the river because they had a whole bunch of flint rocks and a whole bunch of rocks in the river, round rocks. But they would camp there because they had this special kind of rock and they would make arrowheads. They'd camp there for several days or a week at a time back in the days, back in the 1800s or early 1900s. And they would camp there and they'd make arrowheads. And he was showing me where this campsite was. And I'm walking around there on this gravel and I looked down and I saw an arrowhead. Any imperfection in the arrowhead, they just toss it away. I mean, if it lost one of its little lips or whatever, they just throw away, make another one. But you'd find all of these imperfect arrowheads, they're laying all, I looked down, there was one. You know something, in a pile of rocks, probably 100,000, maybe 500,000 rocks within my view, I immediately picked out an arrowhead. Was it hard? It wasn't hard. You can pick out an arrowhead in a pile of rocks easily, just like that. Because you can tell it's been formed. Yes. It's been fashioned. It's got an intelligence behind it. There's purpose in the points. But you can't look at this universe and say, this is amazing. There's purpose here. Yeah. Yeah. There's intelligence behind this. It wasn't always here. Yeah. Or how about if you go looking into the smallest unit of life, which is the cell, and you look in there and you go deeper and deeper and deeper and you find a digital code. Yep. A digital code a quaternary code, not a binary, but it's got four possibilities, and this code is lined up in order, and it produces living things. A code that of itself produces living things. And your first reaction is, isn't evolution amazing?
No.
God has to look at that and say, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I did that. Digital codes is a language. It's a language that requires an intelligence. But it also has a target and a source. An intelligent source and an intelligent target. The target are all these proteins that know how to form together, and they fold up automatically and turn into livers and lungs. Hello! Can you imagine how foolish it would be to say, all of that just happened?
Right.
And how about be so dogmatic about it to say, it's not even a theory, it's a fact. It's a fact? Are you kidding me? You know what God says? Foolishness.
Yes.
People aren't thinking straight. The Bible in one place says God shall send them strong delusion that they might believe a lie, all those who did not receive the love of the truth. So if you don't love the truth, you might be deluded, a mass delusion by God's Spirit saying, you don't love the truth, you're going to believe one of the most foolish and absurd things ever. And that's what they're doing right now, by the millions. This doctrine of evolution, and it's all it is a philosophy. There's no scientific fact behind it. There's not any evidence of it whatsoever. One time I was talking to a young man. He said he didn't really believe in God. And I said, well, what do you believe? He said, well, I believe in evolution. And I said, okay, give me an example. And so he gave me an example of some, I forget what the example was, but I said, oh no, you got that mixed up. That's the opposite of evolution. Because the example was that through natural selection, some things died off. So he had confused natural selection with evolution, because evolution means you get new stuff. And natural selection means you get rid of old stuff. Those are opposites, by the way. And if you get rid of old stuff, in other words, if you breed off all the strange traits, like you want a really small dog, so you always take the smallest dog and breed it with the smallest dog, and you just keep doing that, after a while, those little dogs can't have big dogs anymore. That's called breeding. It's called artificial selection. Natural selection is where that same thing happens in the same way, but out in the wild. And so it breeds off all the characteristics so that the DNA has less information than it used to. There's no more options for large dogs in all of these small dog populations, because all of the DNA information has been bred out. It's gone. It's disappeared. It's not in their DNA anymore. Their DNA is full of blanks. Now, that's the fact. That's the way it works. But that was his example of evolution. And I said, well, you got that backwards. Evolution is where you get more DNA information.
Right.
Something has to happen so that you get more information so that a bunch of small dogs can turn into huge dogs. You got it exactly backwards. There's not one iota of evidence for evolution. In fact, we know it. You ought to know it intuitively. You ought to know it that animals don't create themselves. Trees don't create themselves. And neither do solar systems. God made this. And from God's viewpoint, he says, look what I did. I just want somebody to notice it and say, wow.
Yeah.
That's all God's trying to do. He says, just notice it and say, wow. Look at all those pictures of the Webb Space Telescope and say, wow. Because it's wow-worthy. And God has to say, what foolishness of men that they can look at that and not even notice me. They can say wow, but they don't even notice me. They don't give me any credit. They don't even think I exist. It's amazing. From God's viewpoint, you got to say that's amazing. Now, how about when God makes everything and he says it was all very good? Oh, it was all very good. That's what God said. And God's the judge. He says, you know, I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, I did a bang up job here.
Amen.
This is some good stuff. I mean, this is some good stuff. You know, he's the one who created marriage.
Yep.
But the foolishness of man, Now the Bible gives us the basic story, but I heard that the story went more or less like this, that God came to Adam and said, Adam, I'm going to give you a wife. She's going to be beautiful. She's going to be hardworking. She's going to be loyal. She's going to always be on your side. She's always going to defend you. She's never going to let your reputation suffer at the hands of her friends. She's going to stand by you. She's going to serve you hand and foot. And she's going to thank the Lord for the opportunity to serve you. She's going to be great for conversation. She's going to just be everything you ever wanted. The only problem is it's going to cost you an arm and a leg. And foolish Adam said, what can I get for a rib? And that's what we've got now. Can you see God saying, Adam? You've been foolish before, haven't you? You made a bad move once or twice. Yeah, well, Adam did too. Think about it from history's viewpoint. I just saw the other day a tweet or a text or a Twitter, or I don't know what they is, what it was, a telegram or something, said that we're so happy that the queen had died and hoped she died in excruciating pain. And why? Because the British Empire was built up on the backs of black and brown people. Now, I got to tell you something. There was a lot of atrocities committed by all the empires. I realize that. I agree. But when you don't stop and think about the blessing that came from what God has done, the European expansion happened long before anybody was abused. It was because God gave them something that no place else on earth had. And Europe became dominant all over the world because of Christian principles. Yeah. It was because God set some things up in motion in Europe, amazing, and in the Roman Empire. It might have started off with the Edict of Milan. Have you read the Edict of Milan? You realize that most people in the West have not read the Edict of Milan, but that made the change in all that you're seeing. Almost every good thing in the world today can be traced back to it. It was when Constantine decided that everybody had the freedom of conscience. It's when he made Christianity legal. You read the Edict of Milan. It's a powerful document. It got forgotten. It got set aside. It got abused. And yet it was an amazing thing, the Edict of Milan. And that's what started off Europe into one of the greatest expansions ever known. In fact, it has to be the only, the very best, greatest that ever was. Because there were no empires ever like these empires. None of them. Every good thing that has happened because of them. And we're talking about all of the great things that you could even mention today. I can just tell you a few of them. The progress of Christianity in Europe, and it was slow coming, and there was a lot of falseness involved, but it did come. Let me see, I have something written here. Ultimately, from the Bible, through all of this stuff, we have, first of all, the objective of universal literacy. Think about it, folks. Nobody cared about universal literacy before the principles of the Bible. That came through Christianity and through the Bible. Universal literacy. Do you realize that like 90% of people on earth can read and write today? Stop and think about it, folks. We're talking about most of the world. The vast majority of people in the world can read and write. But a couple of thousand years ago, even a couple of hundred years ago, they couldn't. Right. Not even half the people could read and write. Why do you think that happened? You think that just happened? No, it's because of the principles of the Bible. The Bible got into people's mind that every single person ought to know. And where does that come from? From the Bible. Over there in Deuteronomy, he says, you teach your children to read these commandments. Let them memorize them. Have them put it on their necks and put it on their foreheads. Write it over your doorposts. Make sure they all know it. Make sure the king reads it. Everybody's got to read it. And so those Jews began teaching their children how to read. It became important to Jews. And then it became important to Christians. And now it's important to everybody in the world. But will they remember that? No. Foolishness. They don't know where they got their blessings from. Where do you think universal literacy came from in China? It came from Christianity. Where do you think it comes from in India? It came from Christianity. Why are 95% of the people in Africa able to read? It comes from Christianity. I've got so many of these. It could take me several months of Sunday school to go through all of this. How about publishing? You know what a codex is? It's a Bible. A codex is like a book glued on one side. They used to have rolls, but then they invented the codex, and it became popular through Bible publishing. You know what a paper mill is? You know why it happened? It was invented in Spain. They said, we got to have paper more uniform and more. So they developed a paper mill. Why? To print the Bible. They wanted to be able to print the Bible. And once they had paper that was uniform in the same thickness and it was made by hydraulic power, it was a paper mill making paper. Once they had cheap and easy to get paper, they invented the printing press. The number one greatest invention ever invented. You know why they invented the printing press? To print the Bible. That's right. The university system. You ever heard of separation of church and state? Where'd that come from? It's a very important principle, by the way. Different jurisdictions. Some people have jurisdiction over this. Have you ever noticed that the states in the United States call themselves sovereign? The sovereign state of Texas. Well, you know what sovereign means? Nobody can tell it what to do. That's the top. But aren't we a member of the United States? Well, you know why Texas is sovereign? Because of the principle of separation of jurisdictions. You know where that came from? Jesus. He said, give unto Caesar that which is Caesar's and unto God that which is God's. The separation of jurisdiction is a principle that came from Jesus. And everybody on earth uses it to this day. But do they say, oh, thanks to the Bible for this great understanding that we've got? No, they forgot. They don't believe it. They don't credit it. Why? Foolishness. Amen. Foolishness. They think we always knew this. It's amazing to me. There's so many more. Democracy, representative republic, comes from the Bible. Abolition? Hey, where did abolition come from? You think abolition started in China? You think abolition started in Saudi Arabia? Maybe abolition started in Africa where they were most abused. No, you know where abolition started? In Reformation England. Bunch of Victorian nuts said, we don't believe in this. No, so they got rid of it. They got rid of slavery. Got rid of it. It wasn't instituted by Britain. It was abolished by Britain. Amen. Slavery's been around forever. But now they curse the queen who just died. They curse her. Why? Because they think she invented slavery. They're idiots. And they're teaching in your colleges. Temperance. How about saying no to drugs? Where does that come from? It comes from the influence of Christianity. The Bible. And yet people are foolish. How about the emancipation of women? I thought the Bible just held women down. No. Have you ever heard of chivalry? Did that start in China? Did that start in India? Did that start in Africa? Did that start in South America with the Incas or the Aztecs? No, chivalry started in Christian Europe. Why? Because the Bible says, give honor unto the wife as the weaker vessel. Give honor to her. Protect her. Take care of her. Treat her good. Because God loves the church, and you got to love your wife the same way. And that's where chivalry came from. Of course, it's almost a thing of the past nowadays because women want to be equal. Well, you go for it, ladies. How about monogamy? Where'd that come from? Monogamy. It came from the influence of Christianity. How about public service? The idea that a king is a servant. Where is that? In all of barbarism. Where is that in all the other kingdoms of the world? That the king is a servant? And that all leaders in public ministry, in fact, the word public ministry, the minister of this, the minister of that, means servant. That comes from the Bible. Because in Romans 13 it says they are ministers of God for your good. Comes from the Bible. And now all nations of the world call their leaders ministers. Servants. How about the free market? Oh man, I could keep going on. How about science? How about the scientific method? Do you even know what that is? The scientific method. How about heliocentrism? Do you know where Copernicus got the idea that it cannot be this Platonic system? You know where he got that idea? He said, God cannot be that confusing. There's no way God did it this way. So he calculated it again and came up with heliocentrism, which was much simpler, much better, and it's actually what the Bible said. Let me see. How about anesthesia? Where did anesthesia come from? Yeah, somebody said, you know, he read in the Bible, he read over there, it says when God took the atom when God took the rib out of Adam's side, he put him to sleep. So he thought, you know, that's what we ought to do. Amen. We ought to put people to sleep when we operate on them. And that wasn't that long ago, folks, but he got it from the Bible. Invented chloroform. Yeah, there's so many more. There's so many more. The discovery of the new world. You have it in so many cases, literary, political, social, scientific, all of these ways. You know what it is? Historically, it's clear God has been the best thing that ever happened to this world.
Amen.
The Bible has been the best thing that ever happened to this world.
Amen.
But people today don't want to give God any credit, or the Bible any credit, or Christianity any credit, or white people any credit.
Amen.
You know why? Foolishness. It's just foolishness. All right, that bothered you. That's fine. I don't care. How about from eternity's viewpoint? God has to look at you and say, you're being very stupid. In fact, one time, this fella, he had a really good harvest. And he said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to build bigger barns. Don't criticize me about my big barn. I didn't have a barn before. This is the first barn I've ever had. But this fella said, I'm going to build bigger barns. And I'll have a place to put all my stuff. And I'm going to save it up and I'll have it for years. It's going to be great. And God said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee.
Right.
You see, it's very foolish to build big barns when you're dying tonight. And if you knew you were going to die tonight, you probably would not invest in a big barn. Right? But people all over the world know they're dying. Is there anybody in here who has a question about that? You think you're not going to die? I saw Billy Joel one time. The lady asked him, how do you want to be remembered? He said, you mean how do I want to be immortal? I want to never die. Well, you idiot. You're going to die. That was a stupid answer. Everybody's going to die. And yet look how they live. You'd be amazed at what people invest in. How they go day after day after day, knowing they're going to die, and investing in money, finances. It's all about increasing. You know, it's like if you get the best retirement, then you win the game. But you die. You're missing the point. It's not about being healthy until you're 95 and then dying. That's missing the point. If you're going to die, you need to invest about something later.
Amen.
There is a judgment, right? I mean, surely you recognize there's a judgment. Anybody in here have a question about whether there is such a thing as right and wrong? I mean, we all know right and wrong. Once I was talking to a fella in León, he came over to my house and he was real snobby. He was like, oh no, I don't believe in the Bible. I don't believe all that stuff. He says, and I said, well, do you believe in right and wrong? He said, no, I don't believe in right and wrong. It's just subjective. It's just whatever's the case. And so I just gave him the simple, a young man, he worked all summer and he bought himself a bicycle. He's a 13-year-old man, a young man. He bought himself a bicycle after working all summer. And the very next day, another kid in that same neighborhood who didn't work at all stole that bicycle from him. I said, is that right or wrong? He said, that's wrong. There you go. But there can be no right or wrong if there is no judgment.
That's right.
Amen. Think it through, folks. This is just logic.
Yeah.
This is just the common sense God gave you. There can be no right or wrong if there's no judge and no judgment and no payback.
Amen.
After this life is over. We know that justice doesn't happen in this life. Don't you know that there's going to be a judgment? Don't you know that everything you do is going to have consequences? Don't you know that you're going to meet God and give an account for everything you've ever done? Everything you've ever said? Everything you've ever thought? And if you know that, you're being foolish not to live for it. Not to find out how to fix that problem you've got. It's foolishness from eternity standpoint, most of the decisions people make. Yeah, of course, when he says, the foolishness of man perverteth his way. Absolutely. It's amazing how people, considering the idea of eternity, are still obsessed with gadgets. With stuff. With filling up their garage with stuff they no longer need but can't let go of. That's why we have storage units everywhere. Renting out storage, I mean, they're just going up everywhere. I mean, miles and miles of garage doors. People rent it. Give them $150 a month just to have a little garage there to put stuff I don't need and I'll never use. And nobody wants to buy at a garage sale. All right, men are foolish from God's perspective. They're foolish from the historical perspective. They're foolish from eternity's perspective.
Amen.
They're also foolish from their own viewpoint. You know you've been foolish in your life. In fact, you know you shouldn't eat that cream cake. But you do it. You know that you don't need a whole bowl of ice cream. A cup would be fine. And when you get done with that cup, you'll want more. But if you get done with that bowl, you'll still want more. But you're foolish, right? That's why we're all foolish. Everybody here can say, I've been foolish.
Amen.
I've lived in foolishness. I've done things that are not good for me. And I make decisions that are not good for me.
Amen.
I'm foolish. I obsess after fleshly things. I obsess after things that are not important. I don't understand. I do things that harm me all the time. It's a constant battle with myself. Because I'm foolish. Amen. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him, and we didn't get enough of that rod.
Amen.
We still got it bound up in our heart. We still got the foolishness, the nonsense, the absolute stupid reasoning. We make decisions based on emotions. You realize that's why people vote? How the candidate makes them feel. We're talking about 90%. Just look at the statistics. How many people vote based on issues? Very small percentage. People vote based on feelings or based on immediate gratification. All the time. I'm amazed by it. People vote benefits for themselves. Yeah, we want it now. We'll pay it later. You know that's foolish, right?
Yes.
Everybody knows that's foolish. Well, don't we all know that's foolish? Yeah, we still vote that way. And folks, don't give me that. You're going to tell me in all this whole crowd, nobody voted that way? I'll bet you we voted that way. People assume progress is inevitable. Boy, it is not. You're going to find out that really quick. Progress is not inevitable. It can all fall apart. Our entire nations, NATO can fall apart. The United Nations can fall apart. You could have a war in Europe that destroys the world order as we know it.
Right.
United States could be turned on its head tomorrow, and the ascendant nation would be China, and they'll do whatever they want.
Yeah.
That could happen tomorrow.
Right.
But some people just assume, no, that could never happen. And they just go along. Yeah, like Taiwan. Go along 50 years, don't build up their forces, don't protect themselves. They just say, it's just inevitably, it's going to get better. It's going to get better, but it ain't gotten better. And now it's almost too late. You know what that's called? Foolishness. And you're guilty of it too from your own viewpoint. All you got to do is ask, what do you think would be the wise thing to do? And have you ever given somebody advice that you didn't take yourself? Then you're foolish. Now, what does God say? He says, the foolishness of man perverts his way, turns him off course, makes him go wrong. And I want you to know, pervert means turned wrong. That's what the word pervert means, turned wrong. You hear somebody called a pervert, he's turned wrong. He's off. He's not normal. By any definition you want to try to give the word normal, he's not. He's off. A lot of people are off. Why? Because of their own foolishness. Because they're thinking funny. They're not. You realize that people who are not in their right mind don't know that they're not in their right mind? They think they're thinking straight, right? But that's the way people are. They have been perverted. And that's what's happened today. Perversion. Like taking alcohol and turning it into something to lose your mind. Does anybody think God created alcohol for you to get drunk? Is that why God created alcohol? So you could just get drunk and slobber all over everybody and bore people to tears at a party? That's why you think God made alcohol? No, you've been perverted. It's amazing to me. I was at some convocation, this assembly or something, and somebody brought up alcohol, and the whole crowd shouted, "Hey, yeah, they like alcohol." And I had to look around and say, what is that about? Now, my folks told me not to drink alcohol, and so I didn't. Amen. And I still haven't drank alcohol. Amen. Well, except NyQuil. That's Baptist alcohol. So it's not really a draw to me. It's not like something I understand. Like somebody says, "Yeah, man, we love alcohol." Somebody just mentions drinking and they all go wild. And you got to wonder why. You know why they like alcohol? Because they like to be drunk. There's no other reason. There's no other reason. They want to be drunk. They want to be out of their mind. They don't want to think straight. They don't want to face challenges. They don't want the problems that they have that are their own creation that they need to fix. They'd rather be drunk. And drinking is their entire joy in life. And then don't get me started on drugs. Man, you ain't never seen people so stupid as people who have a habit of use of marijuana. These are the stupidest people alive. I've listened to them talk. I listened to them talk to their attorneys. I'm not privileged to tell you what they've said, but they've said some really stupid things. There's nothing that'll make you dumber than a joint. It'll make you dumb. And you talk about losing your mind, you become paranoid, you become afraid of everybody and everything, and you have no ambition and no desire, and you don't know where your stuff comes from, and you start hating your parents. And you start treating cops like they're your enemies. Why? Because of drugs. Foolishness of man perverts their way. Don't tell me they're not perverted. They are off. They're way off. They've gone the wrong direction. They've lost their way. Talk about abortion. I saw an advertisement just yesterday for Beto, Texas. He says, "Oh, this Greg Abbott, he's so extreme. He's so out of touch. Only 11% of the people in Texas agree with him because he doesn't even want to make exceptions for rape and incest. So you need to vote for Beto." But you know, Beto wants you to have absolute freedom of abortion up until birth. And Abbott is extreme?
Yeah.
You want the right to kill your baby right before it's born? Talk about perverted. Somebody's lost their mind. Boy, I can see somebody having some questions about when they're 2 weeks old and it's just a blob of cells. Sure, they might have some questions, but when it's getting ready to be born, there can be no question there. Anybody who wants that is evil. They're perverted, and it's because of foolishness. Amen. They are evil. How about fornication? You know what God has done in marriage? Something amazing that creates a bond between a husband and wife, that creates a family unit, and there's nothing that should be able to break it apart, so that children are raised up knowing who mom and dad are and knowing that there's love in the family, and they even know who their grandparents are and their great-grandparents. Look what's going on nowadays in our city. People don't know who their own father is. They wouldn't know their grandmother except she had to raise them. You talk about a problem. They say poverty is a problem. You know what the number one cause of poverty is?
Amen.
Fornication.
Amen.
Single motherhood. Number one. You know what the number one killer is? Fornication. Casual sex. Number one killer. It kills babies. It kills people. It kills all the time. It's the number one cause of communicable diseases. You know what monkeypox is? It's a venereal disease. It gets spread around by homosexual men. Hello?
Yeah.
This is perversion.
That's right.
Anybody has a difficulty understanding what sexual perversion is? It's where you just get together and don't care what the consequences are. Who cares about the babies that die? Who cares about the sicknesses that go around? Who cares about abandoned moms? Who cares about poverty and children being raised with all those psychological problems? And then they're shuffled through the justice system until they finally die. Because they didn't have a family that loved them. Why? Because of fornication. The other way is perverted. Anybody have a question about whether homosexuality is perverted? How about sadism? Do you not realize sadism is perversion? I mean, this is some wicked stuff where you get pleasure, sexual pleasure, over harming somebody, over causing pain. And there are other people who are so crazy, they have masochism where they get sexual pleasure from feeling pain. I don't know how that works. I don't want to know. But I know that's perverted.
That's right.
I know there's something wrong with that.
Amen.
And yet they'll say this is normal. This is normal. If you don't feel like you're really a boy, even though you were born a boy, you can just change your mind. And you can go to a doctor and he will mutilate you, even if you're 14 years old. What? To change your... Man, listen, I watched them. I watched this little kid. I can't tell you his name or anything. He was in the courts. He had gotten into some trouble. And he was with a single mom. And his mom had dressed him up in a ponytail and given him all kinds of makeup on. He looked like a very pretty little girl. Had a boy's name still. And everybody treated him very nicely. I didn't give him any trouble at all. Didn't do anything. We're part of that whole system, and treated him nice. But then he grew up, and then this man was 16 years old. He was muscle built. He was powerful, and yet he was still dressing like a girl. And boy, he did not fit in anymore. His life was ruined. His life was ruined by a mom who wanted to give him what he wanted. It's called perversion, people.
Amen.
God knows what's perverted because he knows what the right way was.
Amen.
He says, look, this is how I want you to do marriage. And people say, I don't like that way. You're not the only one. It's just not the only way. There are other ways to be normal, and they do all kinds of weird stuff. And then their lives go to hell. They fall apart. Their children hate them. There's every kind of problem, whether it's drunkenness, whether it's drug addiction, whether it's fornication, whether it's homosexuality, whether it's transgenderism, whether it's all this other nonsense that's going on in the name of normalcy. It's not normal. It's perverted. And who's going to know unless you read the Bible and you get a grounded foundation and you say, that's not the way God intended things.
Amen.
It's perversion, folks. You can pretend something's normal, but that don't make it normal.
Right.
Because normal has to be defined by the one who created it.
Amen.
He says, this is the way it was supposed to be. And you've messed it up. That's right. You can call evil good and vice versa. But then you know what happens? Their whole world starts falling apart. And they begin to fret against the Lord. You know how people blame God for everything? They think, well, why is there so much disease? Why is there so much hunger for children? Why are there so many homeless people? Well, it's not because of what God did. If there are homeless people, if there are people confused, sexually disoriented, it's not because of what God did. God did not make you that way.
Right. Right.
God made them male and female and said, follow my lead.
Amen.
I'll tell you how to live right. I'll give you wisdom. Just ask for it.
Amen.
And God would do it. He'd walk with you. He'd take you right down that road. He'd make your life a blessing.
Yep.
He knows how to do that. But you've rejected God. You reject righteousness. You reject the Bible. You reject all the good that has come from historically, from our historical background. You reject everything, and then your life falls apart, and you blame God. Or you blame Christians because they're so full of hate. I guarantee you they'll say what I'm saying right now is hate.
Yep.
Like I hate people, and I don't hate them. I don't hate anybody. I did used to, but I don't anymore. It's just not worth it.
Amen.
I don't hate anybody. I don't hate homosexuals. I don't hate transgender. I don't hate any of these kids that have been messed up. I feel for them. I wish I could help them. But if I tell them the truth, they'll say it's out of hate that I tell them the truth. It's not hate. It's truth. This is the truth. God says it's your foolishness that caused your problem. And now you hate me because of it. Paul says, do you hate me because I've told you the truth? You got a problem with me because I'm telling you the truth? You know, I've known people who hate their parents. Remember we went up to Colorado, we were preaching up there. There's this one kid, he had his hair probably a foot tall, like a big old spike, painted blue with checkers on his side. And he was dressed in one of these loose, like a tank top, just hanging loose, and big old bulky pants that didn't reach his ankles. And Brian was out there preaching, had his Texas cowboy boots on. Maybe they were Arizona boots, I'm not sure. He's out there preaching. And this kid comes running up there in front of him and starts, I can't do it because I've only got one arm. He starts yelling like this, you're making a fool of yourself. I got to talking to him later and he said he hated his mama. Well, why do you hate your mama? Ah, she's always telling me what to do. I said, all of your problems come because you don't know how to submit. You don't know how to, I mean, your mom might have all kinds of problems, but I'll bet you if you'd go back to her and say, I'm sorry, she'd take you back. He actually got into some tears. I don't think he went back, but I think he kind of realized that he was being told the truth. Let me tell you something. It's not God's fault.
Amen.
You got monkeypox? That's not God's fault. There's war in Ukraine? That's not God's fault.
Right.
Yeah? You're stuck on drugs? That's not God's fault.
Amen.
You've got yourself confused sexually? That's not God's fault.
Amen.
Stop blaming God. God is the solution. He's not the problem.
Amen.
Let me give you some observations to close. Just a couple of observations that I think you will realize are true. Number one, foolishness is not necessary.
Right.
You can get wisdom.
Yes.
Amen.
Wisdom is not far. The Bible says wisdom is in front of him that hath understanding. But the fool's eyes are in the end of the earth. It's right there. You don't have to go to the end of the earth to find wisdom. You don't have to go over there into the mountains of Tibet and find some guru with a straw in his mouth sitting cross-legged on the side of a hill. You can just open up your Bible and say, God, would you teach me?
Yes, right.
I want your wisdom. I want the wisdom that has created all this good stuff that we have. I want the wisdom that you gave the ages. I want the wisdom that you gave the ancients. I want the wisdom you gave Solomon. I want the wisdom you gave Christ. Give it to me. You could ask for it. And the Bible says, he giveth to all men liberally. If you just ask. You just ask in faith, God, I want wisdom. and God will give it to you. And you'd be wiser than all your teachers because you trust His commandments.
Amen.
You'd be wiser than all the ancients because you hold to His Word.
Amen.
That's what the Bible says. It'll make you smarter than your university professor.
That's right.
The Bible will make you smarter. It'll make you smarter than all them smart alecks. It'll make you smarter than all the pundits on TV. It'll make you wiser. It'll make you sounder. It'll make your decisions better. It'll make your life better.
Amen.
You don't have to be foolish.
Right.
You could start right now and say, I want wisdom.
Yes.
You realize it has to be sought? That's the whole book of Proverbs. Seek it. Seek it with all your heart. Seek it more than rubies. Buy it, it says. Whatever the price, buy it and sell it not.
Amen.
Get wisdom. Get understanding. Get knowledge. Get it all. You can have it if you want it. That's my first observation. It's not necessary. You can be wise. You might have to say, I was wrong. I'm sorry. I'm turning around. I don't like this way I'm on. You might just have to say, God help me. But you can get wisdom.
Yeah.
Number two, perversion ends poorly and has consequences.
Yeah.
If you've gotten off the right way, if you've gotten to thinking strange, you've gotten crooked in your thoughts, you're calling evil good and good evil, you're accusing Christians of hatred when they're just trying to help you, if you're in that situation, I'll let you know, your life is going to end poorly. Perversion has consequences. Things are going to happen to you that you're going to want to blame God, but it will not be God's fault. You don't want to go down that path. You can get off of that path. You can say, I'm wrong, God is right. A third observation, and with this I'll close. You cannot fight God and win. God is going to win. He knows how this is going down. He has not been surprised yet. He's got it all figured out. You cannot fight God. You can't be against God, and by that I mean you can't be against the Bible and win.
Amen.
You cannot be against the God of the Bible and win. You cannot accuse the God of the Bible of jealousy and meanness and cruelty and causing wars and genocide, and you can't follow all that sick perversion out there. You can't do that and expect to win in the end.
Amen.
Because God is going to honor those that honor His Word.
Amen. Amen.
It's what He says, unto Him will I look who's humble and of a contrite spirit and who trembles at My Word.
Amen.
You want to be right with God? You got to be right with His Word.
Yeah.
You got to turn around and say, God, give me the wisdom. Let me follow Your path. I give You my life. This is not a small thing, folks. I'm not talking about just repeating a prayer and hoping those magic words will save you in the end. I'm talking about getting your life straight, your mind straight, turning yourself over to God and letting Him change your mind and change your life.
Right.
That's called conversion. And that's what God's asking you for. You want Him? He's yours. He says, anyone, whosoever, what a wonderful word, whosoever cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Just come to me and I'll give you what you need.
Amen.
It's called salvation and He offers it to you. You can have it by beginning your conversation with Him today. You can say, God, listen to me. I need help. I'm perverted. I'm sinful. I'm foolish. I need help. My life is a shambles and it's going downhill and I don't know where I'm going to end up. God, I need help. Do you know that Jesus Christ paid the debt? All of your sins are paid for by what He did on the cross. And now He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. He says, I know my sheep, and they hear me, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand.
Amen.
That's what our God said. If you want that, you can have it. Start your conversation with Jesus Christ today. Begin talking to Him in prayer. He's a person. He's not a religion. He's a person. Talk to Him and say, help me, God. And begin to read your Bible and let Him teach you what you don't know.
Right.
Lord, I ask You to bless this congregation. Anyone here doesn't know You, God, touch their heart. God, make them hunger after You more than their necessary food. Bless us as we go our separate ways. And bless us as we come back tonight. I ask you that in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm at your service if you want to talk to me. Thank you for listening. Come back tonight, 7 o'clock.